Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, one of the hosts of the show, Eugene. As always, you can follow me at Fantasy Genes. That's G-E-N-E-S. And also, I got my homie with me, Ike. How you doing? How you feeling, man? We came back from the expo. You know, it was a good weekend. How you feeling?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Yeah, like you said, the expo was really dope. I was only there for a day. But even that day that I was there, it was a pretty awesome experience. I wish I was able to stay longer. But yeah, man, I had a real good time. Y'all can follow me on Twitter at @just_Ike09. But yeah, so you stay at the expo a lot longer. What did you think about it? What were your biggest takeaways from it?
Man, it was a really good time. One of the takeaways is just, you know, you run into a lot of people on Twitter that are, you know, they're bigger than you. They got a bigger following, and just how friendly everybody was. You know, even run into people in you know, Ray's Discord and Mike and Adam's Discord, meeting some of them people and how cool they were, and you know, just, you know, chopping it up about life, not even just fantasy. So
shout out to Mike and Adam, man. Shout out to Mike and Adam.
First class, man. First class treatment, man.
Bruh. Those are my guys right there, man. Like, hey. If y'all listening, shout out to y'all, man. Y'all are my dogs. Y'all are my dogs.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, man. And then on top of that, you know, speaking of like Mike and Adam, you know, just meeting the rest of the group, man. Like, that was our first time meeting Mike and Adam. That was our first time meeting Jay Rich, you know, and, you know, just other people.
Shout out Jay Rich.
Yeah, that boy is hilarious, man. He's hilarious. Yeah. but no, just, you know, just everybody, you know, one big family in terms of fantasy, just having a good time, you know, even watching the Kings Classic on Saturday morning, midday when they were doing their draft, the auction draft live. And after they did the redraft, that was pretty cool. They did that in the skybox at the Hall of Fame Stadium, and then just playing the flag football game. You know, that's one thing I was really eager to play. And too bad that we saw our boy Ray get taken out the first and only offensive play. Yeah, man. Yeah. but you know, it was a good time. I mean, really good time. Met a lot of people, so.
Yeah, that's good, man. I can't wait till next year. I can't wait to run it back next year, and hopefully I can stay more than one day.
Yeah.
Because apparently I missed a lot. I missed a lot more after I left. But hey, yeah, it was a dope experience the day that I was there.
Yeah, man. You know, we're getting really close to the season. You know, we had our first preseason, our real first preseason week. You know, it's almost about that time. We're in the thick of redraft season for sure. So before we get into that, you know, is there any like training camp news or any preseason news that, you know, kind of stood out from you from this past weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that's on everybody's mind, like the biggest one, the hype train of Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas City, like that. Yeah, that thing is picking up steam, and we are like they've left the station, and it is just in full speed ahead. I don't think I've seen a seventh round rookie get this in training camp like Pacheco has. And I know we had, I think, Darwin Thompson a few years ago, but this guy, man. He might have a legitimate chance at being, I'm not saying the RB1 out of the gate, but at some point he might take over that backfield. Like, I don't think it would surprise anybody, because, you know, we've seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire for two seasons be pretty pedestrian for the most part. And so they're just looking for any kind of juice in that backfield. And I've seen a couple of clips in training camp where he's running routes out of the backfield and setting up linebackers and routing them up and catching the ball and showing his explosive, you know, 4.37 speed at like 215 plus pounds. The guy can move, and for being a seventh round pick, I mean, that kind of athleticism in that backfield, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. And it looks like, you know, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. You know, I think in the Chiefs preseason game, I know, you know, CEH got the first seven snaps, And then the next back in was Pacheco. So, I mean, that they're starting to show some trust in him. And, you know, we didn't believe it at first, but, you know, Ronald Jones didn't even play with the Mahomes group. So he might get cut. And, you know, it's kind of impossible for a team. Well, not necessarily impossible, but it's very rare that a team keeps four running backs on its roster for game days. So he might be seeing the boot if he's, you know, if things continue to trend in the direction that they're trending.
Yeah, I mean, just to add on to it, I mean, Kansas City's projected or there's been reports saying that they're going to keep four. But, I mean, Ronald Jones is the one that doesn't play special teams. So he's definitely a candidate to get the boot for sure. You know, the Pacheco hype is getting crazy. I mean, I've seen some drafts where he gets drafted in the ninth round. So,
yeah,
that's too rich. That's too rich for me, man. But
yeah, and CEH is getting drafted about a round and a half before him in most drafts that I've seen, most drafts that I've done. Yeah. So yeah, I saw a tweet earlier where his ADP is up, I think, almost 50 plus spots at least over the last like week or so. So yeah, he's getting a lot of hype.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, another set of news was, you know, the Zach Wilson injury, him hurting that knee when he was scrambling, you know, non-contact. Luckily, it wasn't that serious, and he had that cleanup surgery today. They're expecting him to be out 2 to 4 weeks. We'll see. I know a lot of people saying, oh, that's Will's up for the whole wide receiver group, because when we saw him get hurt last year, we saw Elijah Moore get unleashed. We saw the other, you know, the corpses of the other wide receivers actually look good. So we saw Garrett Wilson even come out and say that Flacco throws a wide receiver friendly ball compared to Zach Wilson. So, I mean, that's not something you want to hear.
It's not good.
Hear a wide receiver say, so, especially when that backup quarterback is 38 years old. So yikes.
Yeah. He kind of understands, you know, how to get his receivers the ball, at least compared to Zach Wilson. We've seen some flashes from Zach Wilson, but I can probably understand what, you know, Garrett Wilson is talking about, where, you know, Zach Wilson could take a little bit off the ball.
Yeah.
For a simple slant or a simple out route or simple just, you know, comeback route or something like that. So yeah, again, you know, at least for week one, I'm buying all the Jets receivers. Well, no, I mean, I was already buying Elijah Moore regardless of this news, but yeah, DFS, DraftKings, all these pick'ems, take the overs on Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson in week one.
Damn. another one I know that is close to your heart that you might feel a little, the angry fist shaking is the Antonio Gibson fumbling, man. Like, we saw him fumble in the preseason game. Then I just saw a video today of him fumbling in practice.
Yeah.
You got anything?
I mean, I wasn't really worried, honestly, about the fumbling in the game, the fumbling in the first preseason game. Because, you know, again, it's preseason week one. I'm not going to overreact to that. And then part of me, I'm kind of inclined to not overreact to this practice fumbling. The only time I'm going to overreact is if we get to week one and he's not on the field or he's barely on the field. That's when I'm going to overreact. That's when I'm going to overreact. But right now, like, based on what Antonio Gibson has put on tape, through his first two NFL seasons, where he finished as a borderline RB1, despite having a lot of injuries, despite competing for targets with JD McKissic out of the backfield. You know, I still have faith in Antonio Gibson to turn it around. I still think he's super talented. You know, he's still super athletic. He's still the most explosive, might be the most explosive guy on the team, you know, running back, wide receiver, or skill in the skill group. So I still have faith in him. But, you know, these fumbles are a concern. He did lead the NFL in fumbles last year. So that's something that he does. He definitely needs to clean up. He definitely needs to clean that up. But if you were to put a scale on my worry, I'd probably put it at about 3.5 to 4. But again, like, I have to see it in week one, see him just not be on the field, you know, that often. Like if he gets like, let's say he gets like the first couple of carries in week one with, you know, against whoever they're playing, and then he fumbles and he doesn't see the field the rest of the game. That's when I'm going to be worried. But right now I'm not worried. Or not that worried.
I think I'm at a five, man. I'm inching. I'm a little worried, just, you know, just hearing the coach speak, him doing the special teams work. For whatever reason, I mean, usually you don't see your starting running back do any type of special teams.
It's on kick returns now. It was on kick returns today.
Yeah. I mean, and granted, he did, after that report, he did do work with the first team, but still, like, I don't want to see my starting running back doing any type of special teams work when you got other – there's other bodies that can do that. I don't need to be putting my body into that. So, yeah, like you said, we'll see. Hopefully – that second game is more of a dress rehearsal, and then we'll see what's really good with that situation for sure.
What about
another one? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what about Aaron Rodgers calling out his receivers for dropping?
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to,
bruh. Like
we already know Aaron Rodgers.
But this is his thing, right? This is the thing. Yeah. This is what he does. Like he does not really fuck with those young wide receivers. He doesn't.
If there's a guy, especially if they don't catch the ball.
I know, like a couple of weeks ago, he was praising Romeo Dubs, but you know. In the game, he dropped the pass that led to a Jordan Love interception. And apparently they've been dropping balls in practice. I think I saw a video the other day of where he smoked somebody deep. I think a Saints cornerback and got open deep and then dropped it. And so, you know, Aaron Rodgers' message was pretty clear. If you can't catch the ball, you're not going to be on the field. So, I know that's music to the ears of guys who are buying and targeting. Yeah, Alan Lazard in drafts. I'm not one of them. So, you know, if that's what it is, then that's what it is, right? So, but in terms of then another thing that Aaron Rodgers said out on top of bashing his receivers, he went ahead and said that Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon will be on the field a lot together this season.
Yep.
If you can't rely on your receivers to catch the ball, rely on your two best players. To get you down the field, and their two best players right now on offense are Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. So, he's going to lean on them quite a bit. So that's why buying both of them in fantasy, especially in your home leagues, is a very smart thing to do, for lack of a better term. So
and then the
Packers played the 49ers, and then the 49ers quarterback Trey Lance. Did you see that dime that he threw, though, to Danny Gray?
I did see that dime. Yeah,
I did see that dime. I'm just saying.
Jimmy G can't do that, man.
Jimmy G could never, never. I remember seeing a thread from Warren Sharp showing all of Jimmy G's, like, 10 longest passes that traveled, 10 passes that traveled the furthest down the field. I think he was like one of nine for, I don't know, 35 yards and like two interceptions or something like that. And that's terrible quarterback rating. And so, yeah, Trey Lance, the sky's the limit for him. We know he can throw the ball down the field. He has the arm strength, and he can run. And, you know, I think he was very efficient last year in his limited playing time. I think he had, you know, a high fantasy points per drop back, you know, compared to many rookies that have come before him. So I think he's ready to roll. Like those accuracy concerns that we've been seeing in training camp, I don't really care about any of that stuff. He's gonna be a fantasy football cheat code this fall. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Yep. And you know, that brings me to the title of this episode that we're putting on together is Bold Predictions for the 2022 season, where we, you know, we get a little out of the box, hopefully a little out of the box in terms of what we think could happen this in terms of range of outcomes for this particular season for, you know, particular players. So I guess we'll see where we land at. Hopefully we don't have the same players we haven't looked at, see what we got. So
yeah, we haven't.
So this is going to be a surprise for everybody. So I am going to go first.
Yes.
And my first bold prediction for the season is that Gerald Everett is going to finish a top 12 tight end for the season.
That's not bold.
Hey, I gotta work my way. You know,
you gotta give him a little big. I give him a little pepper.
Just a little bit, man.
A little pepper.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So you gonna give him a little pepper that's out of that little small packet that comes in the silverware, huh? You gonna give
exactly.
him that? Okay.
Exactly.
That comes with that has the salt on one side, the pepper on the other. You're going to give them a little bit of that pepper. All right. I got
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
I got you.
All right. So my reason is that because last year he finished tight end 21 in an offense where led by Russell Wilson, where he's never really targeted the tight end ever in his career because he hasn't really had anybody of note besides Jimmy Graham. On top of that, he's going to be playing with a quarterback in Justin Herbert who likes to throw the ball to the tight end in great spots. We saw him throw the ball to Jared Cook, especially towards the end zone area last year a lot. Jared Cook finished the tight end 17. Jared Cook was ninth in routes ran last year. He was fourth in slot snaps. Gerald Everett is a better athlete than Jared Cook. And Jared Cook was second in drops. I know that's one thing that's plagued Jared Everett, but I know this past season, he had just one drop this past season. So I think all those things combined, mixed with the Chargers' condensed offense, you know, the targets are going to a specific set of players, which would be about four of them. Jared Everett would be one of those. So I think those combined with that high power offense, I think he'll be finishing a top 12 tight end.
You know, I like it. I like it. The passing volume in LA should be you know hot and heavy. So you know he's in that offense. Justin Herbert's setting records. His first 2 years in NFL, you know, first 2 years has the most passing yards and most touchdowns of any quarterback in NFL history over his first 2 years. So you know you want a piece of that offense, and there's going to be a lot of shootouts because they intersect with the NFC West, I believe.
Yep.
So they're gonna play the Rams. They're gonna play the Cardinals. They're gonna have some and the 49ers, so they're gonna play some pretty good teams that are expected to score points this year. So I like that that Gerald Everett pick.
On top of playing their division twice
yeah. So
and their lines have already came out. They're all those games are all over 50.
All over 50. So. Yeah, I heard that the other day. Yep. So yep, there's gonna be up. A lot of points. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
Yeah, that's a good one. So the one that the first one I want to start out with. I'm just gonna go ahead and I'm gonna give you a little something. I'm gonna give you a little spice. I'm gonna give you a little Louisiana hot here. Miles Sanders will score double-digit touchdowns in 2023.
Oh shit!
That's right. He will score double-digit touchdowns in 2022. Yeah. Now look, I understand that he has a hamstring injury right now, and then there's this talk about Kenny Gainwell, you know, potentially taking over the backfield. Assuming his hamstring is healthy by week one, assuming everything checks out, I think he still is the best running back on that roster. He's top five in breakaway run percentage at 35% last year, and top five in true yards per carry. Since 2019, he's fourth in yards per touch amongst all NFL running backs at 5.66. And get this, this is one of the biggest reasons why. You know, he's due for a lot of positive touchdown regression. The last player before Miles Sanders to score zero touchdowns on at least 150 touches was Melvin Gordon in 2015. And what did Melvin Gordon do the following year in 2016? He scored double-digit touchdowns, and he finished as the overall RB7. So, and this offense is a much better rushing team than that Chargers offense was in 2016. And, you know, I know Jordan and Miles Sanders was second in red zone touches last year on the Eagles because Jordan Howard was there. But Jordan Howard is no longer there. And, you know, Kenny Gainwell was behind Miles Sanders, despite Miles Sanders missing, you know, five games last year. So I think Miles Sanders is due for a lot of regression, and he's going to score double-digit touchdowns because he is the most talented back on that roster. And him going as the RB27, his ADP is going to continue to fall. He's going in the eighth, potentially ninth round. I think in home leagues by the end of August, he'll probably settle somewhere around the seventh, eighth round. I'm gobbling that up if I can. If I have a strong receiver core and maybe one or two running backs before then, Miles Sanders as my RB3, sign me up. So Miles Sanders, double digit touchdowns, 2022. What's that?
Hey, I'm not going to debate that one, man. It's in the range of outcomes for sure. I don't know how I want to feel about the Kenneth Gainwell, no chatter. I don't know, man. But I do know that Philly returns pretty much their full offensive line. Everybody's back healthy. So
solid offensive line, man.
Yeah, I think top three offensive line in the league, top five for sure. Is definitely in the range of outcomes, especially when we think that offense is going to be really, really, really good potentially. So,
and they just got AJ Brown, so you know, the box is going to be pretty light.
Yeah,
and he's increased his yards per carry every single year since he's been in the league. So yeah, I think he's due for a huge positive TD regression.
Yeah, which leads me to my second bold prediction, staying on the Eagles. I have Jalen Hurts finishes as the top three quarterback for the season. Last year, we saw him. He was a QB1 for the first 11 weeks of the season. And then he had the terrible game against the Giants, I believe, got hurt. And then, I mean, he still finished top 10. I think he finished 9 overall. But, you know, when he struggled that game and he was hurt. So, and then he just kind of felt wasn't really the same after that. We did see him, even though they ran the most running plays after week 4 for the season, when they switched up their offense after they weren't winning any games, when they had Jalen Hurts throw the ball a lot, he was still third in air yards per attempt, which is really, really good at 9 yards per attempt, which is really good for our offense that was 29th in the league in pass attempts per game. So, and then again, like you just said, they just added AJ Brown. You know, you still got another year of Smitty on the outside. You got Dallas Goedert, who we've already seen him have full trust in. You saw how often that he targeted him, especially in that playoff game. So I think all those things mixed together, the offensive line fully healthy. This is a make or break year for Jalen. Do you get your contract or don't you? Because we got all these weapons for you. Mix all those things together, I think he finishes top three QB, and he gets that contract, and he becomes the, you know, the solidified quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I love it. I've been taking a lot of Jalen Hurts in best ball, because in the 6th, 7th round, I'm like smashing the button almost every time. So like, because I think he's going to have a hell of a year. I think he's going to finish top three as well. So I think we are actually in lockstep on what we think Jalen Hurts is going to be, especially throwing AJ Brown, Goddard, and his rushing ability. He's a Konami code. He's a cheat code. At the quarterback position. So yeah, I'm all for that.
Which is not good for our Cowboys, though.
It's not good for our Cowboys. But hey, we did it to ourselves, right? We are due. We are. You know, the Cowboys are due for some, you know, regression on defense and regression overall from all those turnovers that we had, and you know how crazy efficient our offense was. So they're due for a little bit of regression.
Yeah.
But staying on the topic of quarterbacks and staying on the topic of Konami Code quarterbacks, my next one is Justin Fields finishes as a top 8 quarterback in fantasy. Ooh. Justin Fields, yes. That Justin Fields that has all that shitty offensive environment, no receivers outside of Darnell Mooney, that guy. The last 5 games in 2021, he finished as the quarterback 13 overall. The last 5 games that he started, he finishes as a quarterback 13 overall. Week 8. He finishes a QB5. Week 9, finishes a QB10. Week 11, finishes a QB30. That was bad. But week 14 and week 15, finished as a QB10. He upped his rushing yards. I think he was around 60 rushing yards per game over his last 4 full healthy games. And he finished top 5 in rushing yards per game and 6th and 7th in carries per game at the quarterback position. One of Justin Fields' biggest strengths as a passer is throwing the ball deep. He's going to be doing that a lot to Darnell Mooney. That's what they drafted, aka reached on Velus Jones for, to stretch the field. So that could be he could potentially be a thing. And Cole Kmet is an ascending young tight end. He was unlucky in the touchdown department, so I think he's gonna regress positively in that department as well. So I think Justin Fields has a lot going for him, despite the offensive environment around him is not as ideal as we would like. He does have a new quarterback. So he does have a new coordinator. He does have a new offense. So that should be a positive for him. Versus the Matt Nagy offensive system that was just handcuffing him and had training wheels on most of the season and wearing double condoms most of the season. So there's a lot to like, despite being the environment for Justin Fields, because he can run. He's a Konami Code quarterback, and with the way that he finished last year, and with the new system in place, I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that he finishes as a top eight quarterback in fantasy.
Okay, we'll see. He has the potential. I definitely get that, but I mean, we saw what he did towards the end of the year when he was a little more unlocked, like you said, when we got done with the condom sex type offense and allowed him to
double condom, you're right,
and allow him to get busy, a little less restricted. We saw him do some good work, called some play action, some rollout, some play action passes, and those things, unlock the offense a little bit. So I can definitely get with it. So
yeah. Hopefully they use some pre-snap motion, because I think they were near the bottom of the league using pre-snap motion as well. So that could be another thing that can change and that can throw the defense off.
Yep. All right. My next bold prediction, we're going to Seattle, man. Coach established it himself. I got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett finishing outside the top 24 wide receivers this season. Yeah, man. So when we saw Russ Wilson get hurt from week six all the way to when he came back, to the rest of the season, when he ends up coming back from his injury a little early to the end of that season, we saw Tyler Lockett finish wide receiver 19, and then we saw Metcalf finish wide receiver 23. So I multiply that with the nonsense they got in their quarterback room currently with Geno Smith and Drew Lock, mixed with the coach and their offensive play calling. Like, they just talk, if you want to talk about double condom type offense, that's definitely like they're probably using the dried up condoms that you had in high school in your wallet. There was like melted. And you try to, and when you wanted to use it, you can't use it because it's like it don't work. Like,
yeah,
so you don't get to do anything.
And
that type of offense, you don't get to do nothing. And then on top of that, their offensive line is just one of the worst in the league again this year. I don't see an outcome where these two can flourish, man. I think they both finished outside the top 24.
I was listening to Evan Silver the other day, and he asked a very, very good question. Can the Seahawks even get first downs?
I listened to that, man. He was saying not even touchdowns. We're talking first downs.
Can they even get 10 yards on a given possession? Can they consistently do that? It was hilarious to hear it, but at the same time, it's a legitimate question, because how are they going to move the ball? I mean, they have talented players, but their offense is their quarterbacks are terrible. Their offensive line is bad. And Pete Carroll still has that archaic established philosophy, like we said, like you mentioned. So, yeah, I don't know, man. But, yeah, Metcalf and Lockett, they're both two talented cats at wide receiver. But, yeah, outside of the top 24, I would like to believe that at least one of them finishes inside the top 24. And this is probably another bold take. If I were to choose one, I would probably choose Tyler Lockett over Metcalf. I would choose Lockett over Metcalf.
But I know one argument that people might have is like, hey, look at the weeks that Geno started and look at Metcalf's numbers. Yeah, he looked good. during a couple of those weeks, but is that something you're going to rely on for the whole season? You think he's, I'm not going to put my money on that for damn sure.
I wouldn't. Betting on the Seattle Seahawks offense to get you some positive returns. That's not a smart bet. That's not a bet that I would make. I'm not making.
No.
I mean, I like the value. I like the value that you're getting with Tyler Lockett because he's going so far behind DK Metcalf in drafts right now. So DK Metcalf is going at like the wide receiver 24 exactly on the button, and Lockett is in the 40s, in the wide receiver 40s, and that gap should just not be as wide as it is. You know, because what's the difference? I mean, they've been producing close to the same clip since they've been in the league together. So.
Yeah.
Or since they've been on the team together. So I don't know why there's such a wide disparity between their ADPs, but that's just me. I the only person that I would probably see myself with a lot of is Tyler Lockett because he's going so late.
And that cheaper.
He's much cheaper.
Yep.
Much cheaper.
Yep.
All right. So the next one I have, we're gonna go to the AFC East. And we're gonna go to the New England Patriots backfield.
Okay.
Ramondre Stevenson finishes as a top 15 running back.
Okay.
So there's a lot of positive indicators in his favor. So we have the James White retirement a couple weeks, you know, about a week ago. Damien Harris was the, you know, he had a phenomenal year last year, 15 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, but he was only the RB20 in points per game and finished, I think, overall as a top 14 running back. Because he didn't catch passes. Ramondre Stevenson catches passes. He can catch passes. He showed that ability to Oklahoma in the small sample size that he had in 2021, catching the ball. He did really well. He graded out pretty well. And, you know, Bill Belichick came out, I think a couple of days ago, said that he's liked the strides that he's made improving his pass pro, which denotes that he's going to be on the field on third downs. Because, you know, I don't really see anybody else taking that role. So if and on top of that, Stevenson has been getting the majority of the first team reps in training camp, and he didn't play in the Patriots. Did he play? I don't think he played in the Patriots preseason game.
He didn't.
So that all these things kind of bode well for Stevenson to, you know, to smash this year. I think he's had a phenomenal training camp. You know, last year some of his metrics, he was fourth in juke rate. He was 15th in yards created per touch, and he had the third highest PFF grade from the running back position, and he was a rookie. So I think he's teed up to smash, and he's still going pretty late in drafts. He's still going in the late RB 30 or the early RB 30 range. So I think he's going in the middle of the eighth or ninth round, and that's pretty damn good value for where he's going and what he's expected to do. He's already passed Damien Harris in ADP. So I think, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, there's a path for him to finish as a top 15 running back.
Yeah, I definitely can get with that. You know, there's a lot of reports, you know, rumblings that they might even be looking to trade Damien Harris. I don't think it's smart for them to do that because of the return they would get in terms of compensation draft picks. I think they would just let him walk. But I can there's definitely a range of outcomes for Stevenson to outproduce him because he can catch balls, he can run, he's a really good runner, very very efficient runner. I think he had like you say, he had a better juke rate. We see him; he was more effective as a runner than Damien. When you look at the numbers, the only threat for Stevenson in terms of, you know, the reception work is Ty Montgomery. I mean, that was another player that did not play in that first game. I know. People have came out and said that they wanted to use him in that James White role. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know the last time we've seen Ty Montgomery be anything of any relevance in fantasy. So, and you never know with the Patriots, they do some weird things.
They do.
So we'll see. But I mean, overall, I like that. You know, when we talk next week when we do our tiers and positional rankings, we might be seeing some movement of some sorts, and you might see Stevenson above Damian, but I guess we'll see when we get to that next week. Yep. My next bold prediction, Adam Thielen finishes with 10-plus touchdowns for the third straight season. Last year, he finished with a almost 15% touchdown rate, which was, I believe, seventh in the league last year. For somebody that only caught the ball, only had 67 receptions, we saw him bring in 10 touchdowns. I think he was above average in terms of red zone targets. I think he had 15, and 13 of those were receptions. And out of that 13, I believe half of those were touchdowns. So, it's a great conversion rate. We've seen, we know Kirk Cousins loves Thielen when they get near the red zone. Even in 2020, Thielen finished with an 18% touchdown rate, which was third in the league in 2020. So, mix that with Kevin McConnell's already coming out saying like, we're coming out here. We're opening it up even more. We're going to be out here throwing the rock. You got Justin Jefferson. So, Thielen's never getting doubled. The rise of KJ Osborne. You still got Dalvin Cook. You got Irv Smith coming back from injury from his missing the whole last year. So all those things together, I think, is definitely in the range of possibilities for Adam Thielen to, get double-digit touchdowns again. So.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about people regressing, with touchdowns and things of that nature. He's had 24 touchdowns over the last 2 years, but sometimes, hey, maybe he's just good at scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have we considered that? his route running, despite, him getting a certain age, his route running is always going to be very solid. He's one of the top route runners in the league. He knows how to get open in the red zone near the goal line. So sometimes he's just good at scoring touchdowns and just being open when Kirk Cousins needs him. So yeah, I ain't mad at that one at all. I'm not mad at that one at all. That's a very realistic possibility. And in drafts, he's going at a value because of all the attention that's being devoted to Justin Jefferson. So I do like that. I do like that he's going to score double-digit touchdowns again for the third straight year. So that's a cool one. And we're going to stick with wide receivers. We're going to go all the way to Kansas City. Wide receiver and rookie Sky Moore will outscore Juju Smith-Schuster this year.
You got to keep the narrative. I feel you.
on brand.
You are on brand for sure.
Gotta stay on brand. I mean, it's really simple for me. I'm not really a big believer in Juju at this moment in time, and we haven't seen him be good in about three and a half, four years. So, I mean, he's still living off of the 2018 hype where, he was the number eight wide receiver in fantasy, averaged nearly 19 points a game and, led the Steelers. Interceptions with over 100, and was number five in the NFL in receiving yards. But that was 2018, where he had Antonio Brown on the other side. But the following year, when he was asked to be the number one, he flopped. 2020, he was asked to be the number one. He caught 97 balls, but it was for less than 850 yards, and he was only saved that year by scoring 9 touchdowns. And I think the Steelers they passed the ball at a ridiculously high clip that year, but he wasn't very efficient. His yards per route run has been going down every single year. But I mean, again, at the end of the day, the NFL is kind of they've told us what we need to know about Juju. Right, the last 2 years he's been a free agent and he's only signed 2 1-year deals. That's for me, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. It just tells you that. These teams aren't really viewing him as a guy that they can build their offense around or funnel targets through. And so Sky Moore, on the other hand, he's been tearing up training camp. He's been developing a chemistry with Mahomes. They're already moving him around in different formations. He's getting carries out of the backfield. He's in the slot right now, and then today, we saw that Mecole Hardman was carted off with a groin injury. So that's going to be even more playing time for Sky Moore, and to use him, to use him a lot sooner than later. And so, the Chiefs, they have the third most vacated air yards, heading into this year. at 62.1%. And Tyreek Hill accounted for almost 1,700 of that. So there's not a lot separating Juju and Sky Moore right now. And I just think that's, you know, Sky Moore's, you know, draft capital. You know, he's the more explosive player now at this point in their career. He's, you know, Sky Moore is the more explosive player. He showed that at the combine. He showed that when he was, you know, dominating at a small school, Western Michigan. Last year, he had a 43% dominator rating at Western Michigan. So he was absolutely killing it. I think Sky Moore is going to outscore Juju, and he's obviously a lot cheaper in drafts. So now I would much rather take a flyer on Sky Moore in the ninth round than Juju in the fourth, where he's probably going to get drafted in redraft leagues this fall.
Yeah, four is
fourth or fifth. Fourth or fifth round, I think that's kind of where he's going. But yeah, I'm passing on that 10 times out of 10, 11 times out of 10.
Yeah, I hope it's not fourth. But I mean, I hear you, man. I'm starting to warm up a little bit to the Juju idea, but I think I didn't want to be high on Sky Moore because I just thought, you know, you start hearing MVS looks good and all this other. I mean, Hardman's okay, and you know, they're looking to use whatever running backs, and you know, Sky Moore was hurt, but. You know, every time you look at reports, it's Sky Moore is doing this, Sky Moore is doing that. So I think he's going to be good this first year, man. But I still want to hold out hope that Juju outproduces him. But I mean, that's slowly but surely. But I mean, I think they're both going to be good, actually, because. I mean, somebody has to catch the ball because it's not gonna be Cole. I mean, we've seen what he can do. So
you know, Kelsey might get 200 targets.
bruh,
175 over under, yeah, 169 and a half targets for Travis Kelsey.
Targets, shit, man, that's probably over, man.
Yeah, he's gonna get targeted heavily.
Yeah, heavily. All right, so. My last bold prediction, let's see what I got here. All right, cool. My last bold prediction is that we're going back. No, actually, we haven't been here. So, actually, we have been here. So, we're going back to the NFC East. You know, Danny Dimes is their quarterback. And this is an ambiguous wide receiver room. I think Kadarius Toney he will lead the Giants in receiving with over 1,100 receiving yards this coming season. Yeah, okay. I think it's hefty for our wide receiver that we haven't seen really healthy throughout his first year. But during the first year, the first season, I mean, we saw a 29% target share rate whenever he was on the field. I think he was fifth most targeted in the league. In terms of rate wise versus man coverage, he had an elite yards per route run with a little over 2.13, I believe. And then, like I said, it's an ambiguous wide receiver room. He's the most talented out of the bunch. If you've seen any videos of Kenny Golladay, he looks, I don't know what happened to him, he looks washed. Like,
yeah.
And seeing him run drills. Yeah, I don't know if he's going through the motions or, you know, his body just can't explode. I don't know what it is, but he looks washed. You know, Wandell, he's a rookie wide receiver. I'm not sure how much they're going to depend on him. The tight ends are garbage. Just really the only other.
Don't disrespect really, Daniel Bellinger like that. Don't disrespect Daniel Bellinger.
The only true competition for him is Saquon, and he's a running back. So. Yeah, I just think they have no choice but to pepper this dude. You know, Daboll, we saw what we can do when he's had a great wide receiver like, you know, Stephon Diggs. And I think Kadarius has those type of traits where he can, you know, get open when he wants to if he's healthy. So I think there's a great possibility for him to crack 1,000 yards for sure if healthy and that the staff doesn't hate him. So, you know, over 1,100 yards.
Yeah, that's a good one. I know we're both high on him. I know we're both high on Kadarius Toney and him bouncing back this year. And he was one of only two rookies to average 2 yards per route run last year. And obviously, Jamar Chase was the other one. Yep. So And you know, he was fifth for rookies in yards per route run over in the past five seasons. So he's got some things working for him for sure. So I like the call there. All right, so finally I'm going to round it out. We're going to stay, we're going to stay in the NFC East. Seems like we've covered every team except the Commanders, but we're going to stay here. we're going to stay in the NFC East, and we're going to talk about our boy Dak Prescott. He's going to finish as a top four quarterback this year. Top four quarterback. Now,
okay, talk to me about this one.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about. Don't worry, I got some things for you. So. He's down a couple of receivers this offseason. He lost Amari Cooper inexplicably to a ridiculous trade. I don't want to revisit that. Get angry, think about it, but whatever. Cedric Wilson left via free agency to the Dolphins. James Washington hurt his foot, I believe, earlier in training camp. Although he wasn't really expected to be that big of a contributor. So that leaves just Jalen Tolbert and CeeDee Lamb for the receivers, and then everybody else behind them is unproven. But the bottom line is this: Dak Prescott is finally healthy. This is his first off season since the 2019 offseason that he was not like rehabbing or had something affecting him like COVID. This is his first normal offseason and his first normal training camp since 2019. And so, he's ever since Dak has been in the league, he's increased his passing touchdowns, especially each of the last three full seasons that he's played, 2018, 22 touchdowns, 2019, 30 touchdowns. And then 2021, his full season, he had 37 touchdowns. Like I said, just spent most of 2021 offseason rehabbing his ankle. He still came out and balled. He still balled. He finished at the top 10 quarterback in fantasy. I think every season that he's been a starter, except I think 2017 or 2018, he's finished at least as a top 10 quarterback. And, the Cowboys will probably regress a little bit this year, especially on defense because of, they got significantly lucky with turnovers and forcing turnovers, which we love to see. But as we know, year to year, that there's a lot of variance with turnovers. So they'll be forced to pass a little bit more. And the Cowboys are already one of the top, the top offenses in the league when it comes to running a lot of plays. I think they've been, second, sixth, and sixth. I think they've been like, sorry, they've been second, second, and first in plays run. Or pace per play the last 3 years since Kellen Moore has been the offensive coordinator. So they're going to be getting in and out of the huddle running plays, and their pass rate is relatively high as well. So I think coupled all this with just CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz being his trusted safety blankets and him running more because he's fully healthy, I think there's a path for him to finish at the top four, at least top five quarterback in fantasy, because he's every year in fantasy he's. When he's fully healthy, he gets you fantasy points more often than not. And last thing, quarterbacks that have had games of 25 plus fantasy points the most often since 2019, Dak is second only to Lamar Jackson at 41%. Lamar Jackson is 43%. So when Dak has big games, he's had big games more often than a lot of quarterbacks in the league since 2019. So just keep that in mind. In 2020, he missed most of the season because he broke his ankle in week five. But, in 2020, before he broke his ankle, he had, I think, 300-400-yard games or something along those lines. Yep. So he was off to a hellacious start in that regard. So I think there's a distinct possibility that Dak could be a top four fantasy quarterback.
I can get with it. I would want to see some weapons emerge before Gallup gets back for me to be like, all right, I'm fully on board. So, but I mean, it's definitely in a range of outcomes. We know how much Kellen Moore likes throwing the ball, even when it's not advantageous for the offense. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I know.
But on that note, that was the end of our, bold predictions. We both have five each. Let us know let us know what you think about our bold predictions. Hopefully, I mean, I'm guessing that at least four of mine are going to hit. I don't know about yours, but I think my bold predictions are going to hit.
You said at least four of them. Let's recap the bold predictions for the people, just in case they're unclear about which one.
So my bold predictions were Jared Everett finishes top 12 tight end for the season. Kadarius Toney will lead the Giants in receiving with over 1,100 receiving yards. Jalen Hurts will finish top three in quarterbacks this season. Adam Thielen will finish with 10-plus touchdowns for the third straight season. And DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett will finish outside the top 24 for the season. How about you?
And then mine were Justin Fields finishes as a top eight quarterback in fantasy. Ramondre Stevenson finishes as a top 15 running back. Miles Sanders will score double-digit touchdowns. Sky Moore will outproduce Juju Smith-Schuster. And Dak Prescott will finish as a top four quarterback.
Yeah, man. So we'll probably be posting these somewhere on the internet. You know, you might see it on TikTok. You might see it on Twitter.
So y'all can roast us accordingly. Roast us.
Exactly. Roast us, you know, praise us, you know, let us know what you think about bold predictions. As always, you know, is your boy Eugene. You can follow me on Fantasy Jeans, G-E-N-E-S. You got Ike. You can follow him at just_Ike09 on Twitter, and also our official Twitter handle at OffTheLineFF. Ike, you got anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, no, just, you know, y'all have a good night. Make sure you subscribe, you rate and review, check out all the content on the Destination Devi channel. We got a lot of things going, a lot of things moving. Shout out to the squad. But yeah, anywhere you get your podcast, you know, tune in, let us know. Again, like, subscribe, rate and review. Let us know what you think of the pod. Send us any feedback, anything of that nature.
Yeah, man.
We appreciate y'all tapping in, man.
Yeah, subscribe to the newsletter also. We've been putting in a lot of work in terms of getting it out to the people, a lot of good information.
Yes, sir.
To click. So go ahead and tap into that. Again, we'll holler at y'all next week. Y'all be safe. Until then, you know, get ready for your drafts. You know, the season's approaching, so let's get ready for our draft. So peace out.
Peace out.